Well, Matthew chapter 5 in your Bibles. Matthew chapter 5. John, as an aged, beloved apostle, said this: "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God." Jesus Christ stepped into the first century and demonstrated love. It is described here in our text. Matthew chapter 5, let's begin reading in verse 43. "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Jim was 13. He had a little sister, 5 years old, named Mary. Mary became ill and, through the loss of blood and surgery, was near death. Jim was asked by the doctor if he would give his blood to his sister. It was a desperate situation, and he was a perfect match for her. A 13-year-old boy gritted his teeth and said, "Yes, sir, I will." He lay beside her, his blood running directly into her veins. When the doctor looked at Jim, he was pale unto death. The doctor was a kind man, and he said, "Jim, are you ill? What's wrong?" He said, "No, sir, I'm not ill. I was just wondering when I was going to die." The doctor asked Jim, "Did you think when you gave your blood to your sister that you were going to die?" "Yes, sir, I did." Love is an older brother willing to die for a little sister. Most of our love is like that, someone we know, a part of our life. It is right, and Jesus commanded us to love those who are close to us. Husband, love your wives. Parents, love your children. Folks, love your church family. God makes some demands on us in verses 46 and 47. "For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so?" What he is saying is, don't be selective with your love. Love those you don't know. Love those you don't like. And then in verse 44, he says this: "Love those who hate you." We're not very good at that, are we? The fact of the matter is, we're horrible at that. We are very self-contained. We distribute our love carefully and selectively. We decide who will be a part of our life, who we will give our love to. It's not easy to love those that you don't know. It's even harder to love those who you don't like. It's not easy to take time for the stranger. Irma Bombeck relates this story. It was one of those days I wanted my own apartment and I wanted it unlisted. It was a day I was not in the mood for small talk because already on this day my son had chosen to describe to the last detail a movie that he had just seen. And he punctuated the monologue with a constant flow of, you know. And then came three telephone calls, three monologues that could have been answered by a recording. I fought the urge to say, it's been nice listening to you. Then on the way to the airport, I was forced to listen to a taxi driver whose son was away at college. And then I got checked in and had 30 wonderful minutes before I was to board the plane. It was time for me to be alone with my own thoughts and open a book. Just me by myself with myself. When a voice next to me from an elderly lady said, I'll bet it's cold in Chicago. Stone-faced, I replied, it's likely. The elderly woman persisted, I haven't been to Chicago in 3 years. My son lives there. That's nice, I said, never lifting my eyes from the book. Again, the old lady spoke. My husband's body is on the plane. We've been married for 53 years. I don't drive, you know. When he died, a nun drove me home from the hospital, and the funeral director let me ride to the airport with him. Irma Bombeck said, I've never detested myself more than that at that moment. Another human being was screaming to be heard and in desperation had turned to a cold stranger who was interested more in a novel than the real life drama at her side. This dear lady needed no advice, no money, no assistance, no expertise, no compassion. All she needed was somebody to listen to her. So I listened as numbly and steadily she talked until we boarded the plane. Then she found her seat, which was in another section, and as I hung up my coat, I heard her plaintive voice say to a seat companion, I'll bet it's cold in Chicago. And I stopped and prayed, dear God, let her listen. Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, love is just listening. Jesus steps into our life and says, love those that hate you. Love those that despitefully use you and persecute you. That is the very essence of Christianity. Essence is loving people who are not lovable and listening to people who are hurting. Jesus loved his mother, but he also loved Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast 7 demons, and the woman taken in the act of adultery, and the woman with an issue of blood, and the woman beside the well in Sychar. Sure, he loved the people he ought to have loved, but it went further than that. Jesus loved Joseph, the husband of his mother, but he also loved old blind Bartimaeus, the poor beggar beside the road in Jericho, and the maniac of Gadara screaming his torment every night. Everyone got as far away from him as they could. Everyone but Jesus, who stepped into his life and loved him. Jesus loved his disciples, but also the men who pounded his hands and his feet to the cross. He loved those who gambled for his robe and the thieves hanging beside him. And wonder of wonders, he loves me. Tony Campolo flew from the East Coast to Hawaii, and time was all messed up for him, if you've ever made that trip. He woke up at 12:30 in the morning. He couldn't go back to sleep, so he put on his jogging outfit and tennis shoes and went looking for a place to eat. Nothing was open until he found a little greasy spoon cafe. He went in, and the cook with a greasy apron met him and said, "What'll you have?" He said, "A cup of coffee and a donut." The old cook picked up one with his fingers and set it on a plate, and Tony debated if he would eat the donut or not when 9 prostitutes came in. They were loud, they were arrogant, and they were profane. One of them said, "It's my birthday tomorrow." The other, to whom she was speaking, said this, "What do you want from me? You want pity? Do you want a party? Do you want a birthday cake?" And she said, "No, I've never had a birthday cake or a party ever." Then they left. Tony asked, "Do they come in here often?" And the old cook said, "Every night about 3:30. Tony Campolo said, "Let's have a birthday party for that girl." The cook said, "Hey, Ma, come out here." And Tony said, "We'll decorate the place and I'll buy a cake." Ma said, "The cake's my department." About 2:30 the next night, they began to decorate. The cook must have told every prostitute in town. They were all there when those 9 came in. They all began to sing happy birthday. Agnes began to cry. The cook said, "Let's cut the cake." Agnes said, "Could I just take it home and look at it?" She walked out carrying that cake like it was the Holy Grail. Then Tony said, "Let's pray." After that, they left as quickly as they could. Go figure. The cook said, "Why didn't you tell me that you were a preacher? What kind of a preacher are you?" And he said, "I'm the kind of a preacher that would give a birthday party to a prostitute at 3:30 in the morning." Sometimes love is just doing that. Would you go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13? 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is the great love chapter in your Bible. And instead of the word charity, which means love here, I'm just going to read the word love. We'll begin reading in verse 1. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth. Verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Follow after love. We all know John 3:16. Might be the first verse you ever learned as a child in Sunday school. It was the first one I remember. But 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16 says this: Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our life for the brethren. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the great love that you had for us in your willingness to send your Son to this earth to be born, to live a good and a holy life. And then, dear Father, to be beaten and go to the cross. Dear Jesus, thank you for your willingness to die for us. Oh, Father, I can't even comprehend your Son. Die not for anything that he had done wrong, but dying for my sin and for the sin of these folks that are here today in this place and dying for the sins of the world. And Father, I ask that we may never get too far away from that at any point in our life. And then, dear Father, the fact that you said, and we ought to lay down our life for the brethren. We are to love each other. We are to give our love to each other. So, Father, help us. Help us to love those folks that are lost and need your grace more than they even realize at this point. Help us to love them and to live a good and a holy life before them. Father, speak to our hearts. May your love overshadow us. And may we respond to it in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. Let's stand, ladies and gentlemen. Rick's going to lead us in an invitation song. If God has spoken to your heart this morning, we give you an opportunity to step out. Come down to this old-fashioned altar. Be seated. 34 years ago, I stood in the pulpit of this church and I looked out over the congregation and I said, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, how did anybody as ugly as this guy get such a pretty wife? And I told you, I said, listen, I used to be better looking, and but now I get uglier. Tina gets prettier all the time, and so the gap gets bigger and bigger. When I told Tom that this morning, he said, boy, you got that right. That was 34 years ago, and Tina and I came, and it has been the delight of our heart to have been in this church for 34 years. What now?
I just was telling him to put the next slide up.
Oh, I didn't even see that up there. Oh, my word. Yeah, boy, it is true, isn't it? Yeah. Tina and I's 50th anniversary, wedding anniversary is coming up, and we're going to do a slide thing like this. or we were. I'm not sure we're going to now.
How many of you want to see him roll that beard back?
Yeah. You know what? I look like Abraham Lincoln, and that's not a good look, folks. So, anyway.
But he used to look like Robert Redford.
No, you know who she really is saying? I used to look like Barney Fife, and now Barney Fife looks better. So, anyway.
To this being 34 years, it's also Tina's birthday.
It
today.
Is. I should have said something.
Pastor Tina, we
oh, God bless you. We love you.
We love you. We appreciate you. We appreciate all the midnight phone calls that you put up with for all the good times and all the bad times. We all love you.
Thank you. That's Tina's.
Oh, well, thank you.
And,
happy birthday.
We just want you to know that we love you and thank you for preaching. Oh,
God bless you. God bless you. Oh my goodness.
Now,
looky there.
Now, folks, we are gonna be singing Happy Birthday here in just a minute here. Went to the city of Goonyear when I told them we were going to do this and about putting candles on our cake. And they told me I'd have to have a bonfire. So we ended up not being able
to. You would have to have protection if you did that.
So let's all stand and let's sing Happy Birthday to our
Rick,
dear
one
husband.
Thing. Okay. I'll tell you, Tina is 1 year older than she was last year.
That's right. That's all you need to know.
Okay, let's sing Happy Birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Y'all are dismissed now.
Okay, folks, hold on. We got some cupcakes in the back, and every part of that cupcake is edible. And if anybody ever asks you if you've ever ate a butterfly, after today, you're going to be able to say yes.